Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Baseball Talk on 93.7 The Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone is back in the original hit series, Tulsa King. This season, Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight for everything he has built and to protect his empire. Stream the new season of Tulsa King Sunday, September 21st, exclusively on Paramount Plus. Donnie Football on this Football Friday. Joe Starkey back in Buffalo with his family this weekend. Austin Bechtold is behind the glass. Less than an hour until the PM team will have a Football Friday. Andrew, Chris, they are ready to go with Charlie Borges on this Friday afternoon. Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We go back out to that Fan Hotline, and that is where we find Bob Walk, former Pirates pitcher, current Pirates analyst. Bob, six consecutive losses for the Buccos after sweeping the LA Dodgers. It just seems very 2025 of the Pirates to do this. They sweep the Los Angeles Dodgers. They then lose their next three to Milwaukee at home, and then they go to Baltimore and get swept. What have you seen in this funk where, you know, the offense can't really get going?
Well, really the same thing we've seen for about 2 years now. That's just what we've talked about this all, you know, the Baltimore thing, that reminds me a little bit of first road trip of the year where, you know, we just those low scoring 1-1 losses, but we've had so many of those for so long now. And what really I think is the result of that, and you know, I saw it again today. You see quotes in the clips of paper and saying, you know, we need to do better running the bases. You know, situational hitting with runners in scoring position. You know, hitting the ball the other way. You know, we've pretty much been talking about this for 2 years. I don't know if you'd agree with that, but I think that's pretty much what we talk about. And the reason you kind of see these like little things about base running and stuff like that is because we have so many low scoring 1-run losses. If we're not losing, if we're winning 5-2, 4-2 instead of losing 2-1, then all this stuff kind of gets covered up a little bit. Because every team is not perfect, but when you have to play perfect baseball to win games, even when you're getting pretty extraordinary starting pitching, you see somebody makes a base running mistake or something, and it's like, well, it sticks out like a sore thumb. Where the simple answer is, we don't score enough runs, period. Our offense, you look at the numbers of, you know, I don't care what, if you look at new school numbers, old school numbers, whatever you want to look at, they're not good. You know, I talked to Starkey about this last week. He asked me at the end of the show, he says, you know, what position would you really, look at next year, you know, to try and change if you had to look at for like the wintertime, what position? I said, who cares what position? We need hitters. I don't care if they play catcher, center field, second base, third base. What difference does it make? We need to score runs. And we're in the same situation, in Baltimore. We could not get any kind of offense going whatsoever. And I realize now it's September and, you know, wins should be secondary and you're trying to, you know, figure out there's some guys on this team, some young guys that you have to make a decision about when the season's over. Are we bringing this guy back or not? And so you're having to look at these guys and say, are they part of the solution for next year or not, and make some decisions on them. Well, the only way you can do that is if you give them a lot of playing time. And sometimes giving them a lot of playing time is, you know, not good for the trying to win the ball game. But really, when it comes right down to it, we haven't scored runs all year, so who cares who you put in the lineup?
Yeah, I remember your comment to Joe last week, and I agreed with everything you said when it was, I don't care what position the guy plays, we just need hitters. Do you think that, you know, the front office sees long stretches of really bad offensive outputs and thinks that same way? Like, hey, we really need to improve this offense going into 2026, because here are just stretches upon stretches of games where we are scoring under three runs and we're giving our teams very little chance to win.
Well, yeah, I think that's got to be obvious. I mean, I don't see how they couldn't see that. That's everybody sees it. I'm stating the obvious here. So, yeah, you know what you need to do. Doing it is something different. When this season started, you had Cruz making some strides last year. If you go back and look at his, I think his last 4 months of the season, I mean, he was tearing apart left-handed pitching. I mean, just he was one of the better hitters in the league against left-handers. The whole last two-thirds, last half for sure. And then so you could kind of, I think, pencil him in for a big year this year. I mean, he's got, you know, we've been talking about it for a long time now, and it's, you know, it's not showing up. We've been talking about his baseball athleticism and everything he does. He should be a superstar. And, you know, right now he's kind of struggling to stay in the lineup every day. You know, you look at what his numbers are. And so that one thing right there, there's a bunch of other stuff, but, you know, if you ask me, one thing right there that to hurt the offense this year, that was somebody that I'm sure they were counting on to put up some really nice offensive numbers this year, and you're just not seeing it. First half of the season, a couple of streaks here and there. We were hoping he would catch fire after the All-Star break, but it's not going on right now. And so when the guys you're counting on to come through for you, you know, don't, and you have limited resources about, you know, as far as what are you going to, who are you going to bring in? And when the offensive guys you already have don't click, then, you know, you're going to have a year like this. And that's kind of what's happened. Now, I'm sure that they're going to try and put their limited resources toward offense this off season. And, you know, you just hope that they don't miss and they get some guys that can, get in the middle of that lineup. I mean, you'd love to see, like, what would our record be if you had some guys in the lineup right now, somebody, you know, pushing toward 100 RBIs and the guy either in front of them or behind them, sitting at about 80. I got to believe that our starting pitching would have a lot more wins right now than they do. And so that's what that would be your goal for next year. Now, getting that done, you know, I don't know the answers to that. I don't know how you come up with those guys, but that's what we need.
Yeah, Bob, when it comes to O'Neill Cruz, it's hard to not look at this season as a disappointment. I mean, it started out hot. It started out looking like, okay, we're finally seeing the arrival of O'Neill Cruz, and then it hit a wall and it fell flat. It seems like he's been stuck at pretty much the same numbers for quite some time, and, you know, the batting average is right around the Mendoza line. I know that's like an old-school stat at this point, but the OPS 682, the OPS plus is 90, so he's less than an average player at the plate. It just feels like another disappointing season for a guy who is already 26.
Yeah, I agree with everything you say. Last year I thought he turned a corner, because the main thing was if he could hit left-handers, then the strikeouts were going to start going away. I mean, obviously, the guy, when he's right, like we've seen a few stretches earlier this year we were talking about, he puts fear in the infielders. You don't want to be in the infield when he's hitting, when he's right. Because, I mean, he's going to – the guy can hit balls harder than anybody else in baseball. But getting that ball put in play is a challenge for him, and especially now against lefties. I don't know what happened. Something happened to him over the offseason where he went to where he was – not only doing fine against lefties, but really feasting on left-handed hitting or pitchers, and now he literally is no better than an old National League pitcher when there's a lefty on the mound. you know, as far as hitting. So, you know, I don't, you know, and he's not the only guy. You can't just, you know, throw shade on him. But, I point him out because big things were expected of him, and it just didn't happen. So there's one thing that maybe there's still to come. I don't know. I mean, you know, this thing about hitting lefties that I keep talking about, it was like a switch was thrown and he couldn't hit them anymore. And, well, originally, you go back far enough, there was a switch thrown where all of a sudden he could hit them. That was a big question mark. Is he ever going to hit lefties? And then he did something and he started, you know, ripping them apart. And now another switch was thrown and then he's back to where he can't hardly put them in play anymore. So I don't know, but that's just him. There's, you know, there's some, you know, other things that need to be attended to. But, you know, when it comes right, boils right down to the very end, we need better hitters, and they have to be some middle of the lineup guys, not just, you know, guys that are going to spray the ball around.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Two of the Pirates' best players are two of their oldest players, Bob. Andrew McCutchen, Tommy Pham. Would you expect either of those two guys to be back for 2026?
Well, yeah, if they want to. You know, I, you know, once you get up to a certain age, I know, like, you know, Kutch, I don't know, you know, how many years he wants to play. But, yeah, I mean, they're probably not the answer, although if Pham hits for an entire season like he did the last couple months this year, then heck yeah, you definitely want that offense back. And he played a pretty good left field to boot. I like him on defense a lot. I think he was a plus out there in our big outfield. But, I mean, he's getting older, and at some point, you know, something happens to the older player and they start going downhill rather quickly. You know, it's a big gamble to put a lot of your resources into somebody like that. And then, you know, your timing is bad. And now they have that year where they start to deteriorate. But I would not mind, you know, having either one of them back for sure. Cause they're probably not middle of the lineup, you know, big RBI guys at this age, but, they're still certainly, you know, can be considered two of our better hitters right now. So, you know, especially if you don't have anything that can replace them. Like, if you don't bring them back, who else are you going to put out there? You know, you got to answer that question too. So, yeah, I think the way that they've played this year, they deserve, you know, to continue if, you know, I think if they want to. But you have to, you know, look at, okay, how much money is it going to cost you? Do they realize that it might not be everyday playing time? You know, little things like that have to be discussed with them. But yeah, I think they both showed that they're very good major league hitters still at their advanced age.
You can follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan. That's brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Talking to Pirates broadcaster Bob Walk, the former Pirates pitcher here on 93.7 The Fan. His weekly visit. Bob, have you noticed anything that Connor Griffin is doing? I know he's still a couple of levels away from the majors, but it's sometimes hard to avoid the big numbers that this kid is putting up. And a lot of people think this time next year, maybe even earlier than a year from now, Connor Griffin is in the major leagues.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. The way we are right now, you know, in the past, a year back when I was a young man, you know, it wasn't unusual for somebody with unusual talents to make it to the, you know, big leagues very quickly, you know, like say a Robin Yount type guy. And there's others. It takes a very talented and a very strong individual mentally, but, you know, maybe he's that guy. So, you know, heck, I could see him, you know, as bad as we need offense, if he's going to be part of the answer next year, maybe being up, fairly soon. You know, maybe not out of spring training, but maybe in a hurry. And, of course, that also, I think, depends on what kind of moves that they can make and what they can bring in the offseason will probably have a little effect on his timetable also.
Bob, I feel like we have this conversation often. I asked you the question last week about best Pirates pitchers that you've seen stacked up against Paul Skenes. I mean, it's just comical, some of the stuff he's able to do. The WAR is 7.3. His ERA is 1.92 in 30 starts. He has 203 strikeouts on the season. I think the scariest thing, Bob, about Paul Skenes is how easy he makes it all look.
Yeah, he's just a one-of-a-kind individual. I mean, you can put whatever kind of adjectives you want on what he's doing. It's pretty awesome stuff. I almost wish that, it was like 30 years ago because I think, if he was allowed to go out there and pitch like, say, guys did back in the 70s and 80s and 90s, he might have a 300 strikeout year, something like that. I mean, he would even be putting up more eye-popping numbers than he is nowadays. He's just because of the way baseball is, and the way they handle pitchers and players nowadays. He probably is not allowed to stay out there. Well, we know he's not allowed to stay out there very long, and that kind of holds some of those individual totals down a little bit from what he would probably achieve if he was just allowed to go out there and let's just see, if you can throw 250 innings like say a Steve Carlton or somebody like that.
It was a shorter start the other night for Skenes, but still a very good one. He had 8 strikeouts and did not allow a run against the Orioles in that middle game loss in Baltimore. Should we expect kind of that same thing the rest of the way where they're not pushing Skenes, into the 8th or 9th inning of games unless something truly historic is taking place?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that's been obvious. They've been being pretty careful with him really all year. So he only can do what he's asked to do or what he's allowed to do, and that's about it. So he goes out there and goes 5 or 6 innings, sometimes 7. Depending on where his pitch count is lying. And then when he comes out of the game, except for a very rare occasion, we should be ahead if we could ever, score him not a lot of runs. Sometimes just a couple of runs would do. But yeah, he's incredible. We are so lucky to be able to watch him go out there and pitch every 5 days because this type of guy very seldom comes around.
Bob Walk, former Pirates pitcher, current Pirates analyst. Bob, are you out in D.C. this weekend, or do you have the weekend off?
No, I'm in my living room having a roast beef sandwich.
Oh, that sounds phenomenal. That sounds phenomenal, Bob. Well, thanks for hopping on, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, Donnie, take care of yourself.
There we go, Bob Walk. Man, that sounds really nice, just sitting in the living room. Roast beef sandwich. How you feel about that one, Austin?
Yeah, I could go for a sandwich right now, Donnie. I could go for something to eat.
You a roast beef guy or no?
I'm okay with roast beef. I like ham sandwiches. Those are good. Or
yeah,
turkey.
Ham, turkey,
some cheese.
You can't go wrong. But yeah, I mean, you throw some roast beef on there. That could be a bit of a game changer.
I don't eat enough sandwiches.
That used to be like the go-to, I feel. Like growing up, like you're taking your lunch to school or something, or you just had like summertime go home sandwich. There were few better feelings than when I was a kid settling in for a Saturday slate of college football. My dad's in his recliner. I'm just on the couch getting ready for basically 12 hours of straight football.
Oh, yeah.
And you either have some fresh deli meat ready to go, or you even get like a local like high school band hoagie. Oh,
those band hoagies.
Good stuff.
Very, very good things to be able to eat.
Yeah, we used to go the Hemfield band. They were always the ones that made the hoagies out in Westmoreland County, and those would be big hitters.
No Greensburg-Salem band hoagies.
No, Greensburg-Salem, wow. I feel like, didn't really do the hoagie thing. I mean, maybe they just felt as if Hemfield had it so down pat. And I don't even know if there was anything special about what they did. They were, I don't know, they just hit different on a Saturday afternoon.
Well, credit those Hemfield hoagies, they're done.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.